your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Today, I'm joined with Curran Wadira, Managing Partner at Casa Verde, and Chad Bronstein, Founder and CEO at Philo. Guys, it's great to have both of you on the show today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So for everybody listening in, Casa Verde is one of the leading venture capital firms, especially in the cannabis sector. And, you know, Curran, I know you have quite an extensive background with equities and finance. I know you're at Goldman and Cashmere. And maybe we could start the show of, you know, just talking to us a little bit about your story and how you got involved with the firm. And, you know, hopefully there are some fun Snoop stories in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. They always are. So my background, yeah, is a little mixed, kind of like two careers running in parallel. You know, one part of it has been really traditional in public equities, like you mentioned. I joined Goldman out of school. I was in San Francisco. I was in Hong Kong. I was in India. I spent about 10 years in Asia, helping to build kind of equities businesses there. My last role was actually at Nomura, where I was looking after trading for Asia ex Japan out of Hong Kong. So had, a lot of fun experiences in Asia and, building interesting businesses, always on the public equity side. And that was kind of one half of my life. And then, you know, even predating my time at Goldman, I've always really been an active entrepreneur and investor. So the first business I started was in college, which did new media, digital media consulting for record labels and artists. This is like, you know, pre-social media. So this is not as high tech as that kind of a role would sound now. But I was, you know, had an opportunity. I grew up in Boston to come to Los Angeles, you know, very frequently during my college years, and got to, you know this place really well, and got to, you know, befriend and know a lot of great, exciting artists. One of which was Snoop, who became kind of like instantly, you know, clicked with. He was at a really interesting intersection in his career at that point. If you know anything about Snoop's history, obviously, you know, was on death row with Dre and Tupac, and then went to No Limit, and, you know, was working with Master P and that whole gang. And then, you know, when I kind of met Snoop and started working with him, it was a new chapter where he was now kind of venturing out on his own. And so, that's how we got to know each other and got to do a lot of fun things with him over the years, you know, even outside of what was initially like a digital media conversation, you know, from touring to he launched a clothing line to movies and television shows. It was a really fun time. And it was when I was in college. So it was, you know, particularly fun. I was just kind of, I had a very different college life than most folks. I was going back and forth to LA a lot. And and then I got to India and, it was an opportunity to reignite some of those interests, that I've always had. That manifested itself in a lot of different ways. I helped start, a kind of lifestyle and entertainment media platform that, you know, is still going today and has 80 staff and has, venture financing. And then I was also, you know, investing a lot of my own money. I was the earliest investor in what's gone on to now become the largest hedge fund in India, which is super active public and private fund. I actually, you know, caught up with that manager today and, you know, has 6-7 IPOs coming next year. So super exciting times. So like I was always super active, right? Even with Snoop, you know, we stayed close even after I stopped, working with him closely, on a more full-time, on a less of a full-time basis, you know, and we did kind of cool projects together. So, you know, in India, I helped put him in what has become, you know, at the time was the biggest Bollywood movie. We, you know, co-produced a song and video and kind of introduced him to that entire, diaspora. And then a few years later, he came and toured and, you know, helped organize and get that done. And so we were always close and kept in touch. Snoop and his you know, business manager partner, Ted Chung, we were always very close. And so, you know, they were definitely the ones who started talking to me about cannabis in you know, 2013, 14. And, you know, because Snoop is who he is, he was getting approached left and right for all these different things. And, you know, they definitely made a conscious decision that this is going to be a space we're going to be very active in. And, you know, we're kind of encouraging me to think about it as well. You know, predating that moment also, Snoop was getting very targeted as an investor for, you know, as like influential capital. So he would make deals, you know, Robinhood and Lyft and Reddit and, you know, Klarna and beyond.
Karen, he also invested in Cameo, which is one of our good buddies' companies that invest
in. You know, he's that kind of guy, and people want him on the cap table. And so, and you can imagine that was like, you know, even more elevated even on the cannabis side too. So we were already getting into that mindset and we're having these discussions. And, you know, it took me a while. You know, I didn't leave my kind of day job till 2015, and then was exploring different things, including cannabis. But once I started really digging in, it was very obvious to me. And so, you know, I took that plunge and kind of took over this business. That was, you know, middle of 2016. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of work and exciting times.
Karen, that's awesome. And that's a great backstory. We'd love to hear, you know, so we met actually, I don't know, like a year ago when we had that WeWork space. You guys were also in that WeWork space in California. We'd love to hear about, like, you know, your thoughts on investment in cannabis. So we obviously know you invested in Ease, Endos, and Dutchie. Like, what do you look for when you're investing in these companies? And tell us kind of the Casa Verde's investment strategy the past couple of years.
Yeah. You know, we're just we've invested in 18 businesses out of the fund. And actually it's maybe more like 19, 20 now. Like, we just want to invest in great entrepreneurs building scalable business models in cannabis. That's like the very sort of, you know, simple explanation of what we do. We initially were just focused on ancillary businesses. So we were only looking at, you know, technology, services, hardware, staffing, you know, financial products, et cetera, things that would support the industry and benefit off the kind of macro theme of legalization, globalization, but weren't, you know, touching the plant. That's no longer a restriction of ours, and we'll look at anything and everything that you know, has those similar properties, because, you know, the regulatory perspective is less of a concern for us now. Not that it was a massive concern then, but, you know, we also had to balance that with investor appetite and things we were doing. So, I think that is, you know, that's like the simplest way to drill down on what we do. And that's manifested itself in a lot of different types of companies, right? You know, from point of sale to direct to consumer, to staffing platforms, to hardware, right? Like, we're just big believers and buyers of this macro theme, and how that manifests itself in, you know, particular investments is varied.
That's awesome. So, you know, I wanted to just kind of, you know, bring up a couple of your investments. And I think, you know, from a household name perspective, like, a lot of people, they know Ease, they know Dutchie. And when we talk about scale, like, obviously those platforms are really scaling on a massive level. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you could actually share with us as far as, you know, maybe some strategies, approaches that these brands are doing to, you know, reach their consumers? Because obviously cannabis is a very different marketplace than the rest of the world when you're talking about advertising. You guys really do a really good job, you know, not only investing in these companies, but seeing the strategies that they're implementing to really grow.
Yeah. You know, both were different in different ways, right? I mean, you know, how we used to talk about it earlier on was, you know, Ease was taking a little bit more of the Postmates, DoorDash strategy, whereas Dutchie was looking at it a little bit more like Grubhub. Now, the comparisons we used to use are changing, and, you know, but the big difference was, you know, Ease was really taking control of the entire process, you know, from menu creation to logistics and things like that. Whereas Dutchie wanted to, you know, help the other side of the coin, you know, have an e-commerce presence. And so they're both different on that end, right? Ease really was looking at the consumer, So, you know, they did all sorts of and continue to do all sorts of really interesting things, you know, to garner consumers from, you know, billboards at some point, which were everywhere in San Francisco,
everywhere,
even LA at some point.
You couldn't miss them. They were literally like everywhere on the 405.
Yeah, to events, to, you know, I mean, there's so many things. And Ease had a really, you know, great advantage of being, you know, really one of the first and very early in that format. So I think that was great. Dutchie, you know, has put more of its concentration, obviously, on, you know, attracting retailers, right? So there you're doing a whole host of other things to continue to bring retailers onto the platform, you know, from trade shows to, you know, some digital marketing in the right places to, you know, knocking on doors. So there's a, yeah, they're different in from, you know, in that manner, and both strategies, you know, obviously had to take into account the limitations of what the issues are of dealing in cannabis. But, you know, both have done really well and, you know, it's been exciting to see their growth.
Awesome.
Karen, outside of just you know, what you just talked about, Dutchie and Ease, you guys just made an investment in Proper, direct-to-consumer sleep aid brand. What was exciting about that? You know, that's obviously now that's showing that you guys are moving away from ancillary and going in more into direct-to-consumer brands too. How do you think the cannabis consumer has or and will continue to evolve?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have our views on what that will look like. But I think at the very core, I think cannabis, CBD, you know, THC, hemp as ingredients and as ingredients and inputs will continue to gain a lot of steam. And, you know, it's, you know, we've always taken the view that like there is this one stigmatic view of cannabis and how people consume, and that's awesome. And it'll continue. It will always be there. But there's, you know, tons of new ways people are touching the business and the product. And we want to be involved in all those things where, or, you know, if it makes sense. So, you know, Proper really came out of our real desire and to be involved in sleep, you know, more than anything. If you look at, you know, the various reasons people give for consuming cannabis, you know, it's the number one slot is shared with, you know, sleep, pain, anxiety, and then they kind of, you know, rotate there. And so it's definitely always been something to consider, but there's clearly been an issue is, you know, the fragmented nature of the business across the country. It's been hard for someone to really become a leader in that category. You know, at the same time that we were having these discussions, we got to know the Proper team and also Redesign Health, which is their, you know, one of their kind of like venture studio slash holdco that they've come out of. And Redesign has built some, you know, has been behind and helped to build some really incredible direct to consumer brands. And so we started sort of talking and thinking about this together and decided that like, you know, we should really partner here and push this product. So, you know, Proper, which has launched recently, you know, hasn't even launched with a CBD SKU, right? Like that's on the roadmap. But the sleep issue has always been multifaceted. And I think we're very used to thinking about sleep in this one dimensional way. Like I have sleep issues. Cool. Here's melatonin. Here's Tylenol PM. It's worst. Here's Ambien. And you know, we're not getting to the root of the problem often. Right. And the reality is, you know, that the kind of mantra of Proper is like sleep is not a one size fits all issue. And it's not just, you know, supplements, you know, that are all natural, vegan, et cetera, that have been clinically proven to help you sleep for different reasons, but also, you know, there's a sleep coaching element of it as well, right? Which can help you on the behavioral end and start to think about, you know, how you should be tackling sleep, you know, in a more thoughtful way. So I think that really got us excited. And the reality is like, CBD and you know, and THC in the future and cannabis can play a really important role in that. And I think as regulations and things evolve, like it will absolutely be a part of the story. And it already is to some extent, but I think we'll become larger in it. So that's, you know, definitely not the most obvious way I think most folks are thinking about the space. But, you know, for us, it felt very natural And you know, we're super excited by the company. COVID has brought a whole new host of reasons why the business continues to do well. Sleep supplement sales are up over 30% this year. The sleep epidemic is very real. That's also building alongside the pandemic. Obviously, the telehealth and the sleep coaching part of it is booming because that's now become a very real way of people are interacting with health and wellness experts or even doctors. And obviously DTC e-commerce when we're stuck in our homes, right? Like, so it's been really cool, like multiple tailwinds to give another boost to the business. But, you know, we were excited and looking and deep in, you know, well before COVID.
Yeah, that's 100%. COVID for, I think in cannabis, you brought it up, but it's obviously ignited a lot of growth across the industry for us, for everybody. So I think, you know, it's an unfortunate chain of events, but for cannabis, it's been fortunate for the outcome, I would say, for like you just said, in terms of D2C, being at home, it's done really well.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Chad, just to kind of jump on that too, I think, you know, you guys getting involved in obviously in the CBD market right now is pretty massive because we're seeing it across the board, but just from like a numbers perspective, like I think the growth from last year has already been like 15, 20%, almost like 5 billion. And, you know, with everything that happened with COVID and then that little slump in the economy back in March, April, May, like, you know, we're looking at almost 12% unemployment rate going into the summer. And so you have people who are like literally searching for holistic, you know, health supplements all summer long, you know, to try to get themselves back to somewhat of a normal pattern of sleep and health. And so I feel like you guys got into this at a really good time.
Well, absolutely, and I think the other part of that, which has nothing to do with COVID, but which was happening already, is people are wanting to take more control over their health, right? And there was already a lot of focus as people understand like how important sleep health is to everything, literally everything. Like, you know, we think about it in the most, you know, simple ways, which is like grogginess or being clear headed and, you know, not being, you know, feeling lazy. Like, that's just one part, right? Like, proper sleep leads to, you know, greater overall health. It can be, you know, dramatically improve, you know, your chances of becoming diabetic, you know, helping with your, it's just like, you can literally live a longer life if you can solve this problem too. So, you know, I think that was happening already before COVID too. It's like, people want to take more control over their health and not just, you know, be driven to what has been the sleep aisle for so long of just, you know, kind of, you know, chemical products that you put into your body.
Yeah. Personal care items. I mean, so many, you know, everyday brands that we know, you know, now have products that are injected with CBD, right? Like Church & Dwight, Colgate, you know, Glaxo, all these guys are getting into the market. So it's an interesting time. That's for sure. A lot of innovation happening.
On that note, also we're seeing even with obviously the COVID and everything else, you have CBD, cannabis, we're also hearing more and more about psychedelics too. What are your thoughts on the psychedelic market?
Yeah, super interesting. You know, we've definitely been following and tracking it, and, you know, really exciting to see some of the early indications of where it can be used, and, you know, from PTSD to depression and anxiety, and how people are thinking about, you know, whether it's psilocybin or MDMA and other products. It's very, very interesting. Yeah, we're tracking it closely. We're you know, looking at the ways people will interact with it. And yeah, so we definitely find it fascinating and very encouraged in its continued growth and the investment that's pouring into it.
What are you thinking as far as, you know, obviously you guys are so focused on the cannabis market. There's obviously a ton of, you know, venture capital out there, and a lot of them are hesitant to, you know, dip their toes in the water, obviously from a federal perspective with, you know, legalization. How have you started seeing some of these conversations change from, let's just say, when you first got involved in the cannabis movement and then started investing in a lot of these companies, to what's happening today? Like, are there more venture capital who are like, yes, okay, we have to get into this or it's going to be too late? Are people still, like, are you still finding that there are some that are still hesitant? Like, what's changed, let's just say, the last year?
Yeah. So I think there are people who fall into a number of categories. On the whole, from when we started this to now, yes, so much more interest in what we're doing. You know, even traditional institutions, you know, want to have the conversation where, you know, maybe they weren't ready earlier. So all of that has been has changed dramatically. The level of interest from more traditional allocators or venture folks or whatever, like all of that is on the rise, continues to be. It was, you know, more today than it was yesterday, and I think it'll continue that way. So that's definitely like been very, very clear. In terms of like investors, breaking it down into that 1 year sort of view, it's been mixed, right? Because I think what ends up happening in a lot of various industries it becomes more about timing than anything else. So, you know, if you were unfortunate enough to, you know, make like big kind of public or even overvalued bets like early last year and then saw like, you know, your value of your portfolio really implode and have issues and things like that, like you may be turned off on the space for a little while. I think it will all come back. I don't have a concern, but the bubbly nature of it certainly, you know, got people, you know, using a lot of like, you know, crypto examples and, you know, like the dot-com bubble, et cetera. And they're not wrong. Like that is what happened. And that's what happens in hot markets is you have a lot of kind of bubbly activity. And people just want to know the easy, quickest way to get exposure. And oftentimes that doesn't always play out. Now things are starting to improve. You're seeing markets rebound as well. And I think it's the next time around, it happens in a much more thoughtful fashion, but you know, I guarantee we'll have another moment in the next few years where we'll also again feel overvalued and bubbly and you'll see some sort of correction there. I think that's just the nature of business, right? Like in the kind of example I use is, you know, during the dot-com bubble, like, you know, you had plenty of legitimate, amazing investors who after the crash said, I'm done with tech. I'm not investing in tech anymore. What an absurd thought to have now. Like that doesn't make any sense. But after a couple of years and whatever else, then you're like, okay, you slowly dip your toes back in. But like, you know, that happens. And I think, you know, cannabis is in that in-between phase now. Like there's a bunch of people who have been turned off by the industry given, you know, issues they've had and losses they've faced and, you know, dealing with, you know, potentially like, you know, characters that you didn't think you would be in business with, you know, on the private side and certain issues. And then, you know, now that's starting to turn around because when, you know, when all the tourists or, you know, whatever leave, you know, you have to have a much more fundamental business model. You have to have a lot more, you know, real vision as to what you're building and have concrete fundamentals and things like that to get dollars. I think, you know, 18 months ago or whatever, that maybe wasn't the case. And those kind of environments, you know, lead to inflation and overvaluation and bubbles in the space. So I guess long answer to your question is that absolutely the interest is way better than when we started and there's more folks who are looking to deploy to our space. A lot of that money that was like going into more deals or quicker has kind of died down a bit. But there's a new wave, as there always is, of investors who now actually see this as a real opportunity. Like, okay, cool. Like now, you know, a lot of that, you know, inflation and bubble mentality is gone. You know, let's get active.
Yeah, I would say to add on to that, because we've been raising capital. I agree with that. I think as people are just teetering in between. But I do think that that as the stock market's taken a turn, that it's going to, more and more people are going to want to get in. And I think it's starting to, you know, we set out to destigmatize at Philo and talk to mainstream companies and brands. And I think more and more people are starting to get more intrigued by the cannabis space. So it's going to definitely be interesting to see over the next 3 years what happens, because it's now shown to be a protected vertical, you know? So once that shows, when it's pandemic protected, it's definitely going to, I think, pique more people's interest.
Yeah, agreed.
Awesome. Well, listen, this has been super insightful, and you know, congrats on all the amazing work you guys are doing this summer, and obviously all these great investments, and you know, keep up all of the the amazing momentum in the space, and you know, hope you get a couple days off.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having us. Fun conversation.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.